Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Ego.
Hi, how you doing, Ego?
Oh my god.
Well, I'm talking to the Ego, not to you.
I know.
Oh.
Hi.
I thought you were responding.
To the Ego, yeah.
Okay. Hi to you.
Hi to you.
We're going rogue today.
I know. We're live. We're doing it live.
We're just off book, living, loving.
Well, it's also because we're together in the same room for the first time.
Yeah, it felt right. It felt like we had to have a kind of a come to Jesus moment where we just, no editing, tits out.
Yeah. Just yeah.
Waving them, shaking them in the air.
I know, Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, this is Girls Gone Wild. Yep. In many different ways, it feels like.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
You're so right.
Welcome back.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. I gotta tell you.
It's so good to have you sitting on this couch.
I know. And what a night we had last night.
What a night we had last night. I mean, this is our second go around at this recording because we lost the first.
Yeah.
So we had a choice to make. It was 9:30 p.m. We were like, do we just let it go and hit the town? Or do we double down and redo? And we were like, well, no, frankly, have a little margarita and get on out there.
And we did. By God, we did.
We did.
In the tiniest little dresses we own.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Very short little dresses. We got a little bit of attention.
I know.
Which I'm surprised by because I thought that doesn't happen anymore.
Me too. It was very sweet. I saw for the third time, I'm not joking, a man ask Beatrice if she's Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Which is such a wild one-liner.
It's the one, that's not even the pickup line I get. I just get asked that frequently. It's like the most nationality.
Yeah.
Ethnicity.
I wonder why.
The irony is that you're actually Eastern European.
I know. I know. But what, I mean.
You use the Cyrillic alphabet. Yeah. Like, I don't, yeah, no, it's the one I get. I've said this, I think, before, but the only place I've truly ever felt at home, looks-wise, was actually not Russia. I've been there, was the Netherlands.
Oh!
It was the one place I think people accepted me as their own. In fact, we were on the plane there, and Chris goes, I have never seen so many redheads, like, your home, like, these are your people.
Oh!
Pointing out babies, like, that's you, that's family. I did do that last night, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I saw a redhead man on the dance floor and I was like, that's my brother. Brother in arms. How are you, son? There's a kinship that I can't explain. It's 1% of the population.
That's very small.
Yeah.
You also told a man you were a Republican last night.
Well, the question was incredibly niche.
Yeah.
He said, which color is more powerful for a political party, red or blue?
Well, no, this was also his riff. That is what he asked.
Yeah.
But he tapped me on the shoulder and he goes, red or blue, which is just like a silly. And I was like, blue. He said, why? Why'd you pick blue? And I said, because I'm wearing it right now. And then he's like, okay, what about politically, red or blue? And then that's when we got you involved because you were like, what is he asking? And I was like, politically, red or blue? And without missing a beat, you were like, red. Republican. I would say red, probably.
I do think red is a more powerful color. I
hear
sure. that blue is more trustworthy and soothing.
Yeah.
That studies have shown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think red really brings it home in many ways. And that is obviously why, that is the sole reason why the Republican Party has so much success. The color wheel is the reason Trump got elected. That's it.
So true.
Just
his season. He's a soft winter. And for that, he wields power.
He's a cold, dark fall. Yeah. Have you done your colors?
No,
do you know
who I haven't. Are? I don't know who I am. I think I'm a winter, is what I've been told. Do you know what you are?
I think, no. I think I'm a spring?
Yeah.
No.
You could be an autumn, too.
Yeah.
A spring or an autumn, I think.
I don't know. I just refuse to subscribe to the notion that you can't wear certain colors.
I agree. No, I'm anti.
Yeah.
There are just things that I love because I love them.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if they suit me.
I grew up being told by people I can't wear orange because of my hair. And I'm just rejecting that.
No.
Yeah.
Reclaim orange.
I'm reclaiming left, right, and center. I'm reclaiming you.
I know.
The Uggos, as a unit, we're reclaiming you. We're welcoming you back with open arms.
I know.
I'm so excited to see you.
I know. I'm so happy to be here. I can't even tell you.
But last night was fun.
It was.
Yeah, there were a lot of different lines that we got. Like, the boys are really mixing it up. I found them to be very polite and respectful.
Yes.
It feels like a new world. A guy tapped me on the shoulder, just goes, love your dress.
Oh.
I don't know if that would have happened like 6 years ago, that a straight man would have just said, love the outfit. Wow. You really put together a great look tonight.
You know what else I loved? I thought was sort of radical was the guy that was like, how tall are you girls? Like, it's so good to be around tall women. And I was like, sick.
That was cool. So funny.
I agonized over my height for so long in high school, being like, I can never wear heels. Oh my God, I'm one of the taller girls.
I know.
Only to be at the friend on a Friday evening being told, so great to look a girl in the eye.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that really does haunt me about ever having children with a very tall man. I have a friend who his mother is 6 foot, his father is 6'2". He is 6'5". His brother is 6'10".
6'10"?
6'10". And it just, there's just no way getting around it, I think. I think medium talls don't make a short.
Mm-hmm.
And two talls absolutely don't make a short. I think there's no way around it. I mean, a close friend of mine, her mom is 5'11". Her dad is 6'2". She's 6 foot, 6'1".
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Oh my God, you're right.
And then Chris used to always get catfished by tall women. I've told you this.
No.
Stop. I haven't told you this?
No.
So when he first moved to Los Angeles, he moved to a section of the city called Redondo Beach where the volleyball players of Olympic quality all trained. And that was his pool.
Yeah.
His fishing pond when he went out to the bars was just these like hot volleyball players. But specifically, they are very tall and he is very tall. So he was really like, they beelined for him. The women over 6'2" were like, that's my man.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes to me one instance of being on Hinge and seeing a girl and she'd listed her height as 6'2". And he was like, okay, perfect. Like I'm 6'5", 6'6". I'm 6'6", 6'2". Like there's a good little gap in between us. Shows up, eye to eye, limb to limb. The woman is at least 6'5".
Wow.
And he just had to, he was like, it was very weird because you go in to kiss someone like
yourself.
Yeah, you can't see yourself.
Yeah. You're just... Everyone is a mirror.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that,
but no one more than that.
No one more than that. And have you dated guys your exact height ever? A 5'8"?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And?
Fine. But I was also so young that I was still like hunched. I would hunch.
Oh, yeah. You'd pop
in
the
like
hip.
A photo. Yeah. Pop the hip. Literally, probably the reason I have chronic hip pain today. Probably. Just. Absolutely slinked to the side.
Yes, yeah, a puffy
out of fear for appearing half an inch taller.
Yeah. Oh, God forbid you tower over men and not be the tiny little pine needle dainty girl that they deserve.
I know. No, I've talked about how nothing scares me more than a very petite woman.
It's. I can't say that because there are women out there listening who are incredibly petite.
No, I think that they're frighteningly beautiful.
Frighteningly beautiful. And there's little fairies.
Lethal.
You said lethal. No, absolutely lethal.
Yeah.
And lethe. But yeah, no, it does. It is just, it's such foreign territory, like feeling like you could like break someone. Like that kind of power is real. We talked about this last night. We were, oh, dude. I don't even know if we can say this.
That we would win in a fight if we fought.
Yes, yes. We looked around the room of women and we were like, how crazy is it to know that we could take any of these women in a fight?
Yeah.
Any.
Yeah.
So challenge us.
And you and I really set our minds to something when it's happening. So I also think it's like we have, you know, some strength training, definitely. I have some karate behind us, but it's also, I think, our resolve.
Okay.
And our refusal to back down that would really push us over the edge.
You were downplaying. You said, and I quote, yeah, my strength training plus my 10 years of karate, it's fucking over. It's over before it began. No, and the adrenaline. Yeah, I just think, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the power is where it's surging.
Yeah.
It's a surging in us. And no more so, never more so than being back together.
Yeah. No, and that's how it felt. It's like we weren't going to fight anyone on a random night. But on the first night we're back together, yeah, we will.
Have you ever thrown a punch? And
no.
Me asking you that question, it's like... You who will say, someone says, you look disgusting, and you're like, but oh my God, thank you. Like, and you are so beautiful.
No, I've never thrown a punch. No. I took very seriously the oath that I took in karate, which is that we all agreed that our bodies were weapons and they were only to be used on the dojo floor and never outside of it.
That's, yeah.
I took it very seriously.
Your bodies were only to be used on the dojo floor.
Yeah. Like, when your fist is a weapon, you have to be really careful.
Absolutely. I mean, you were smashing planks at 9 years old.
Yeah. Have you ever thrown a punch?
No. I hope to one day.
Mm-hmm. When tough. The time's right.
It's tough with, like, acrylics.
Yeah.
It's tough with the nails. But, I mean, I won't lie. I have fantasized about taking out the hoops on occasion. Just taking them out.
It seems free, you know?
Oh, yeah.
To just fight in front of a bar.
Oh, just settle it outside?
Yeah.
Quick and easy.
I know. But it's tough because I don't know what would incense me in that way. Because it wouldn't be if someone, like, hit on Steven, obviously. That's the last thing that I'd do. I think it would be if someone hurt a friend of mine. That's the only thing that could incense me. Like, if someone was mean to me, not getting it. But if someone was mean to a friend in a way that... I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to imagine the...
Have you ever called out a boyfriend or partner of a friend?
Called out. No.
I've done that.
That's
done
amazing.
That.
That's amazing. What an amazing thing to
shaking.
Do.
I should have punched him, but I didn't. It's hard because it was all under the guise of friendship. Like, he was like, hello, great to see you. And I was like, you. He did the worst things imaginable. Like, I can't even, like, unspeakable things. Even share here.
Okay. I would do that then for sure. But then we're just talking about fighting a man.
No, I just said, you're a terrible person. Like, nice. That's fine. Yeah. I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
I did the how, kind of, how dare you?
That's so good.
No, there was one thing I was going to say about last night that now I'm forgetting. That
is the tall, the fighting, the drinks. Oh,
I recall. You turned to me mid, I want to say, MGMT electric feel. And you said to me, if you were to cheat with anyone in the world, who would hurt Chris the most? NBA player? You jumped in first. You said NBA player?
And because I said, he's a big sports fan.
He's a big sports fan, specifically NBA, has a lot of respect for those men who leave it all on the court. But I was like, yeah, maybe. I said probably someone like really shredded, because like that's like his, it's not my goal, it's not my taste, but it's his. You know how guys find certain guys hot? Like, it's that.
Yes.
But then I hit on something for both of us. You said for about Steven, like a famous director, like a Damien Chazelle type or whatever. And then we looked at each other and I said, oh no, I have it for both of us. I've got it. Pause. John Mayer.
Worst possible case scenario would ruin Steven's life for decades to come.
Yeah. Or would it be a source of pride? Like, she had to cheat. She could cheat with anyone. I'd like her to cheat with John Mayer.
That's true, actually. It really depends on where you'd catch him on the day.
Yeah. I think in recovery, you'd be like, you know what? She didn't go for the guy down the block.
Yeah.
She went for the creme de la creme.
Yeah.
The man who sings like an angel and shreds like Slash.
Yeah. He is amazing. And he's cute as a button.
He's goddamn
to
cute.
To say nothing of how he's cute as a button.
Cookie.
Yeah.
Full cookie energy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what would be yours?
John Mayer.
No. F. Steven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Probably.
Who would hurt you deeply?
Oh, God. Oh, God. And I'm aware that it's live, so I have to produce someone.
I know.
I do think Sydney Sweeney's too obvious. But it'd be tough. It'd be tough.
That would probably be mine.
Yeah, that would be very tough.
Or maybe, like, I was going to say Amrata.
Yeah.
But I don't even think Sydney Sweeney. Because I think there's so much admiration that comes with women. Like, we admire so many women.
Yes.
That to be viscerally annoyed by a woman who is also objectively hot,
that's a powerful combination of feeling very gutted if your boyfriend was to cheat. Like, first of all, it's the obvious choice. Don't love an obvious choice.
I know. I know.
And secondly, when the personality is that grating, I just...
Well, for me, and this is an admission of my own faults, she knows about things I know nothing about.
What, like fixing renovating a Ford old Bronco? Cars.
I don't even know where the engine of the car is, really, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking for if I'm looking under the hood.
She's a black belt taekwondo.
Yeah. Yeah.
She also has her nipples out whenever possible.
And they look amazing.
And that's not for us. That's not for the girls. You best believe.
I know.
That is for the boys. Her doing hot ones.
I know.
With the caption, "This one's for the boys." I think really
reinforces. No, she's brilliant. She's brilliant. We have to admit.
Yep. I mean, really reinforced to me that that's for the boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about this, but like the Kardashians are for the girls. Like they're beautiful, they're hot, guys love them, but they're still marketing to women.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney, it's entirely a male demographic, I feel like.
I know, which feels interesting and very on brand for who our person is today, which we will get to after I hear about your inspiration.
Oh, I think my inspiration ties very well into our previous our conversation discussion. Already. Yeah. This is, it fits right in there with the dialogue. My inspiration for this week is being petty.
Ooh.
I always feel like we have this black swan, white swan dynamic where you always come with the fluffiest, funnest inspiration and I'm the darkest Daria type gal in the room. But this one, I think, really, really bridges those two worlds of fun and depressing. We're in the middle of the Venn diagram here. I have recently discovered the remove follower button, which I didn't know existed. I thought you had two options, or maybe three max when it comes to Instagram. You can do full block, you can do half block, which is hide from stories, or and mute, obviously.
Yeah.
Or you can unfollow. All of those are kind of extreme. One's a little passag, but I think the best one, in A, sending a message if they were to ever look you up and see the follow button. Or just to generally kind of like remove someone from having any engagement with your digital presence, with your online identity, is the remove follower. So, I mean, for me, this was not something I entered into lightly. I've had like a, I would say a professional fallout, would you say? No. Or just a big professional slight, which has been super disappointing, very frustrating. I would say former friends turned professional colleagues, but it's just been, I've reached a point now where I'm like, you know what? I actually don't want to engage with these people under even the guise of friendship or acquaintanceship or whatever you categorize following online to be. And so I said to a friend, like, what would you do? Blocking is extreme. That's usually reserved for the ex-boyfriend who wronged you. You know, unfollowing doesn't really hit for me because they're still kind of like replying to my stories and commenting on things. And it's just like, I don't want to see you and vice versa. I don't want you to see me. I just want us to drift away into the night. And he was like, oh, remove follower. Duh. Like, of course. Why don't you just do that? Remove them from your follower. I was like, I didn't know you could do that. This is a new feature that I had learned about. And so I deliberated. I thought, is this petty? Should I take the high road? But you know what? I've been taking the high road for a very long time.
Too damn long. Too damn long.
I'm tired. I want to get down in the mud.
Yeah.
Take me down a few levels. I want to roll around in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I did this week. And it brought me almost immediate peace.
Yeah.
I ran this decision by you. You endorsed, which meant the world to me.
Oh, yeah. And I continue to endorse. And if we called on my grandmother right now as a special guest star, she would also endorse because... the evil eye is a very real thing in Slavic culture, as you know, as a Russian woman. And it's not about how you are. Da, da, da. It very much has to do with who has the privilege of being around you and observing you and taking in good news and exciting moments in your life, because it's not always responsible to share those with everyone. Because for the people that don't wish you well, I think it makes complete sense that you felt peace after you did it.
Yeah, the not wishing well component, or in other instances, this is not applicable in my case now, but like the jealousy component.
Yeah.
I think you've discussed this before. You have not a professional adversary, but someone who you would happily remove if you could, if you felt like you could.
Yeah.
Because of that like almost competitive element, right?
Yeah.
It's weird that we all live with these.
I know.
Yeah. Like these kind of, I wouldn't even, you can't call them nemesis. It's too strong, but like this.
But I am blocked by someone. I'm blocked by a couple of people. I have been blocked. Person that I am in this world. So it just, I really think that.
By exes or by?
No. Friends.
Friends.
Well, friends, exes.
Yeah.
Friends. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Random people.
I'm sure I am too. I just can't speak to it.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Because you don't know until you find out.
You don't know until you find out.
And I don't take it personally because I just think it, I think that when you live a life, this happens.
Yeah.
This happens no matter what you do.
Oh, you're going to cross paths.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone's going to be cheery.
No. Nope.
And not everyone's going to have the same moral compass. I think that's the thing. That's what's been the most revealing part. I mean, my story is very Los Angeles, it feels like. And it's a side of Los Angeles that we hear spoken of so frequently. And yet I'd never seen it. I was always like, what do you mean? It's dog eat dog. What do you mean? This is, you know, this industry can be ruthless. Like, I don't believe you. And then this is kind of what I've seen is like a more like an outright greed. And that is being a really revealing, but also it's like, how do you contend with that? Because I'm always coming from everything from a vantage point of what would I do or what are my intentions or how has this possibly been like miscommunicated or like, you know, like you want to see the best and most importantly, you want to relate it to what you would do. So you're like, if you know, I would never do that. And if you're coming to it from that standpoint, then it's really hard to rationalize how people are moving. And you also don't see it coming
in
the same way,
yes,
which is definitely what happened to me. But, and listen, any uggos who I run into in the wild and want to hear the full story, I cannot share on a public platform, but I absolutely will when we are sitting down with Negronis.
Oh, and what a privilege that is.
So that's inspiring me. Mm-hmm. What is inspiring you, my sweet baby angel?
Well, it's similar to yours, but definitely brighter in conclusion.
Okay, white swan.
But not intentionally, but basically I'm returning to LA, as everyone can hear in my voice. And the way that we got here was by car, road trip, 2,000 miles, 35 hour from Wisconsin to Los Angeles. And we very responsibly set up a little route. We got it together, booked little Hampton Inns along the way. And then as soon as we embarked, 9 hours into the trip, a crazy storm rolls in. We have to completely reroute, do an extra 5 hours of driving. They were very hard, 16-hour driving days, a lot of them.
Weren't you also supposed to like see friends along the
way? Yes. Yeah. Like we were going to stop into Denver.
Yeah.
I had big plans, but Colorado winter storm said no, and we had to reroute. And basically what ended up happening was that we did not make a single pre-planned stop. The entire thing went a totally different direction, but it was absolutely beautiful. I found what may be my wedding dress at a Buffalo Exchange in Albuquerque.
Gorgeous.
I bought that and a pair of cowboy boots. The girls were gagged, as you can imagine. I came out in the wedding dress and the cowboy boots, and everyone in the Buffalo Exchange was like, ah! And it was a big moment. We spent time with the two sweetest straight men I've ever met in my life and watched games at a sports bar, went to a clown themed hot dog restaurant. I had a corn dog and some mustard, got to see Santa Fe, got to see Albuquerque.
Very High School Musical coded.
Yes. Yes.
They famously go to Albuquerque High in those movies.
And you can tell now.
You can feel Troy Bolton.
Yeah.
Just bet on it all across the golf course.
I know. He was there. He was there with me in spirit. And I really loved it. It was so beautiful. And then we drove through Arizona. It was stunning. There were wildflowers blooming everywhere. And it just really felt like a whole, you know, things may not ever go as you planned in any way whatsoever. But sometimes it's better. Sometimes it goes even better than you could have ever imagined. So that's what I'm hoping happens to me now. Because I'm here. I'm returned. I have no idea what I'm going to do for work, for life, for anything. I get married in 100 days. Then I fly to Serbia. I don't know.
But we'll isn't it also like a reminder of how capable you are independently?
Yes. Oh yeah, that yes. That is sort of the resounding feeling is that I got home and I unloaded the entire car by myself. I hate driving and I drove so many hours and so fucking fast. I can't even tell you how fast I drove. And I just felt so capable. I was just like, when pushed, you can figure things out.
Dude, I think that's the flip side of a long-term relationship. You feel like a codependency that is almost scary at times, but really you can still do all of the things. You're just choosing not to.
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't want to, frankly, so I won't. But we're absolutely able to.
Yeah.
And when pushed, when having to fight outside the bar, we will throw hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go 95 down an Arizona highway. No problem.
Yeah.
Without blinking an eye.
So true. Actually, speaking of bringing it all the way back around, aren't straight men sometimes the best?
Yes. Yes.
They talk about nothing. No feelings are exchanged. You walk away being like, I don't even know what that guy does for work.
Yeah.
Is he still with his girlfriend or not? Couldn't tell you. And yet, it's just such surface level ribbing the entire time. There's just nothing like it. It's total freedom.
It is. It's so fun. And they're so sweet when they're like excited to be with their boys. It was amazing. Because yeah, they were telling us about their big friend group. And there's like 14 of them. All like fellas all together. And I was just like, I have never experienced what this is.
No.
I have been with 15 women.
Ooh, that's a different
But that's energy. A different thing. That's yeah. a different thing entirely.
People are crying.
Yeah.
People are fighting.
Opening up, saying things they've never said aloud to anyone before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
No.
It's sweet.
It's so special. I mean, I see why the frat culture, it works.
Yeah. Alive and well.
Yeah, man. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And you, for one night, were a part of it.
You
went
lucky.
To a sports bar?
Yeah.
You watched the game?
I watched the game. The grand finale game.
It was
the Lobos versus the Aztecs, the San Diego State college basketball team.
You sound like you're being racist. Those sound like slurs.
Those two? Yeah, I know. I didn't pick them. I did not pick those names. I swear to you. That's just what they're called.
Who are you rooting for?
The Aztecs. And they lent us jerseys to wear. They were like, we have a bunch of extras. Like, you guys can wear them. And they were so excited when we walked in. They're like, you wore them? Oh my God. Like, it was so sweet.
They think of everything.
I know. It was so thoughtful. They like laid it out on the couch and they were like, we're going to go to the game because we're going to like be there the whole time. We were going to take a power nap and then meet them. And then we like came out and all the jerseys were all laid out with like hats and sweatshirts so we could like choose what gear we were gonna
they
wear.
They were styling you?
Yes, I was styled.
Oh my.
And I've God. Always wanted to wear one of those jerseys. Do you know the kind they're like the classic ones that have like the buttons and they're kind of like that, like,
yeah, like the baseball
shiny.
Yes.
I've always wanted to wear one of those and they had one and I was like, whoa. I'm gonna wear that. But they lost, unfortunately. And then we had to like walk out all wearing the jerseys.
I think the Aztecs might have lost in real life as well.
Yeah. Where are they? I know.
Colonization, baby.
Ugh, yeah. It gets us all. It really does.
Oh yeah. And speaking of someone who colonized our hearts.
Yes. Yes. And the hearts of all straight men everywhere.
Oh
under the sun.
My God. Yeah. You want to talk about straight men? There's no one that has them in a chokehold quite like this woman. She is the foxiest, the hottest.
The coolest.
Truly, I think the sexiest girl of our generation. Like, she is someone that if Chris cheated, I would tip the hat. I would simply tip the hat. I would flourish the hand into a half bow and I would say, well played, maestro.
Yeah.
Because my God, is she the hottest person on the planet? Yeah. We are, of course, talking about the one and only Megan Fox.
Mm.
And what a time.
What a treat we have for you.
What a treat.
This one is.
Oh, you're going to be tenderly unwrapping it and just like licking the paper. Is that too? That's quite explicit, isn't it?
That's fine. It's live. It stays in.
This profile is titled Megan Fox Says What She Thinks and Does What She Wants, plus other confessions from the lips of Hollywood's new favorite temptress. Oh my God. We're heading back to 2008 for this.
A great year.
Financially. Huge for the economy.
Yeah.
The Great Recession kicked off this year. when Wall Street, sorry, I should say the stock market crashed in September of 2008. And I don't know, the year was spooky. Like, it was witchy. There were so many major pop culture moments that were very, like, important and significant, but also bizarre, and something was just in the ether. So this was a year, you might remember, of Britney Spears' comeback. She went into conservatorship in February of 2008 and then was basically put to work by Jamie Spears. By the end of the year, she had released her new album, Circus, like Radar, Break the Ice, all of those absolute bangers. And she had also, oh no, was it on Blackout and I'm conflating them? Britney Stans, I apologize. Oh, I think maybe. I might be. Such is life when you're live.
Yeah, such is life.
Yeah, the fact checking just really doesn't hit the same way. But Jamie Spears really did put her to work, and she had won 3 VMAs by the time that the year was out. But that's not all. It was like a huge year for movies. The Twilight saga officially began.
Of course. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And the Sex and the City movie also hit theaters, reuniting Carrie and the gals for the first time since the show ended in 2004. So very exciting. It made something like $57 million its opening weekend.
It should have made $57 billion. That movie's incredible.
It is canon. There's truly nothing like it.
I know. Her in the Vivian Westwood dress. I'll remember it as long as I live.
And then The Dark Knight also hit this year. And I don't know if you remember the lore specifically around its release, but in the lead up alone, I mean, talk about a fucking press run. Christian Bale was arrested for allegedly assaulting his mother and sister, the star of the movie. Heath Ledger died unexpectedly, the other top billed star. Morgan Freeman also got in a near fatal car crash, all in the lead up to the release. And obviously the movie itself, like the hype around the movie was like unprecedented. It was like a 2.5 hour epic and record shattering ticket sales, sold out for weeks. Some people were forced to wait up to 2 months to see it. It was a huge cultural moment. I remember it. It was dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
But perfect, like beautifully done. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Katy Perry also rose to fame this year, her in a little cherry chapstick with I Kissed a Girl shooting to the top of the charts.
I remember listening to that driving to Laguna Beach. Cranked.
Okay, that is power. Yeah.
I knew when it was happening. I was like, oh, you're living in history.
It was also the height, I feel like, of like lesbian stigma. Like you couldn't be a lesbian, but to exhibit lesbian tendencies, i.e. hooking up with another straight girl, was like very okay.
Yeah,
like
kind of the cutest
hot
thing you could do. Oh yeah, at a given moment. Yeah,
guys just being like, do you guys want to hook up? Maybe that'd be fun.
That was so wild.
Yeah, I've got my BlackBerry here.
Yeah,
I've got my Pinkalicious. I could just take a little snap.
Oh god.
Barack Obama also won the race for the White House. He became the first African-American president elected to office with an overwhelming youth turnout, which really showed how engaged our generation was politically, unlike probably the prior. And God, yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z got married. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt had their twins. And then High School Musical also returned to theaters. It was High School Musical 3, just 1 year after Vanessa Hudgens was forced to apologize by Disney for her nudes leak. I actually haven't. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I have not.
I remember seeing them at the time, but I can't recall. I think she's just in a bra and undies.
Oh, my God.
Someone DM us because I don't want to look them up.
Yeah.
But I'm curious as to how explicit they were. I feel like they weren't that big a deal.
No, I'm sure they weren't. I'm sure they weren't. Because I feel like if they were, they would have like shut down the High School Musical franchise.
Oh, for sure. It was like a digital camera.
So scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Flash in a mirror.
Yeah. A Victoria like 3 for $20 panty set.
Yeah.
And you're away laughing.
3 for $20. God. God, it was good.
It's a good deal.
Do you remember when you got your first thong?
No.
Really?
Do you?
Yes. I went to Forever 21 and I got it. I remember getting it. And I got a little like lilac colored thong. And I was like, now begins womanhood for me. I was alone.
Yeah, I don't have it. Even bras and stuff. I don't even remember when thongs became like a thing of like, okay, you can't show it like a panty line. It's thong or nothing. Do you wear pretty much exclusively thongs now?
I really mix it up.
Mm.
Yeah. It depends on the pant that I'm wearing. Like if it's a dress. But I love like a seamless underwear.
Yeah.
Those are very comfy.
No, I think if you don't have to, you generally won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which says a lot about a lot.
I've got nothing to prove.
Oh my God. But the girl who was wearing thongs, like no one else, was Ms. Megan Fox. So she grew up in Tennessee in a very conservative household, which probably surprises no one. Ultimately, I'm having a flashback to last night. Do you remember some guy saying to us, no, I'm from Tennessee.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, Megan Fox country.
I know.
Me connecting.
Yeah. Connecting.
Just finding that little mutual point to bounce off of.
I know.
Oh my God.
I wonder if we're terrifying to talk to or fun to talk to. I have no sense at all. We're smiling. I mean, I understand why people maybe came up to us, because a lot of the night was spent, you and I, absolutely howling laughing on the dance floor. We're like whisper, 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 screaming, slapping the knee, laughing so hard.
Yeah.
It's clear we're not like an ice queen situation.
Yeah, that's approachable, yeah. I would say. Yeah. Yeah. I think smiling but dead behind the eyes.
That's
and
true.
They can feel it.
Yeah. 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 Heart wasn't in it.
When some guy was like, I'm heading to the bar. Do you guys want anything? And you just go, no. And I was like, also, no. Oh, that's going to hurt when you're offering someone something free and they say no.
Yeah, that's so true. But we didn't know. Maybe, you know.
What do you mean we didn't know?
No, we.
we knew.
I mean, it could have gone bad, you know. He could have bought us those drinks and slipped something in them. We didn't know that his intentions were nice.
That's the other thing about America, as opposed to where I grew up. It's like, y'all were getting roofied left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Like, very few girls here haven't been roofied by adulthood. I didn't realize that. It's like so common.
Even boys.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so scary. I hate it.
Did the nail polish ever catch on in your demo?
Oh, my God.
Where you put your finger in and it changes color?
No, but that's so brilliant.
Yeah, it was like a very Shark Tank-esque.
Yeah, who did
idea.
That come forward? DM us.
Yeah.
We'd love to advertise.
Yeah, you want to sponsor the pod?
That'd be so cute, honestly. Changing lives.
Absolutely. But Megan Fox was in a very different setting growing up. She was in a strict Pentecostal household, which is the type of Christianity where you feel like you have like a direct channel to God and quite evangelist. You're really trying to rope people in. And she attended Catholic school for 12 years, which also feels just perfect in the sense of Megan Fox. It's really all there. And she wasn't allowed to have boyfriends or invite friends to the house. She even described her stepfather at one point being verbally, mentally, and emotionally abusive until his death. And I think she was pretty rejected by her female peers. She developed an eating disorder and just struggled with manic depression, something that she kind of associates with her mother and claims is hereditary. And she also was the eldest of three sisters.
Wow.
What? Yeah, that feels very you.
Oh my God. Would love to know more about that.
I don't know if we're going to get it.
I know.
I don't think for this particular writer, it is of highest interest what her dynamic was. Raising the young woman beneath her.
Yeah.
Lifting them up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she was an incredible dancer and actor even from an extremely young age. She knew she was going to be famous. She was convinced she was going to be a famous actress. And she moved to Florida from Tennessee basically to really like sink her teeth in to the arts. And when she was 13, she began modeling after winning several awards at the 1999 American Modeling and Talent Convention in South Carolina. And at this point, she's 22. She's fresh off Transformers success. Transformers 1, I mm-hmm. should mention. And is in the midst of filming the sequel. And I think it says a lot that she got a GQ cover with really not a whole lot going on. Not a ton to promote. Not a slew of movies. I mean,
yeah, that's so true. One sort of big
franchise film. And you're a woman, like you're in a men's magazine.
Yeah. No, it just had to do, I think, with the absolute frenzy she caused.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know who last was on the GQ cover? Like Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Best actor Oscar winner.
I know. And he's been at it for decades.
Oh my God.
So long.
That man's been plugging away and he is tired.
Yeah, I know.
He is tired. But this is written by Mark Kirby, who at the time was a senior writer at GQ. And I can't find much online about him. But what I can tell you is that the majority of his cover stories throughout the years on women, they are always somewhat naked or mostly naked, which doesn't feel like a coincidence. I think once, maybe twice, but three times. I mean, so he interviewed Megan Fox, who's wearing a bikini on the cover famously, and sucking on some very testicle reminiscent fruit. She's got cherries in her mouth, and it's not phallic, but what is this?
Not yonic. I was testic.
Yeah, it's testic.
You gotta be testic.
Yeah. Explain yonic,
yonic
to the class.
Is the vaginal version of phallic. So it's sort of when something is vaginally reminiscent.
The fact that no one knows that word.
I know.
Never heard of that word.
That's a sign of the times. Sign of the times.
But also he did a cover story, which we probably should do as well, on Kate Upton, and her tits are out. Like, this is very mid, early, late 00s, early 2010s. Jennifer Aniston was also topless too on one of his covers that he wrote. I don't know. I'm like, was it the time? Was it the creative? Was he just getting all these hot women and petitioning for them? Or was he just being blatantly assigned? I don't know. But there's some sort of running thread there, which is interesting. And the article starts thus, which I think also tells us a lot. Megan Fox has her fingers in her long black hair, and as she tosses her head this way and that, she runs her hands very slowly down her face and onto her neck and chest. She's panting as if undergoing some very heavy exertion. "My daddy's in prison," she heaves. "Sam, Sam, we're not leaving without Bumblebee." Fox is having breakfast in a hotel lobby in San Diego, and this Sam, Sam bit is her impression of her work in Transformers, the movie that launched her career in 2007 and earned her such dubious honors as sexiest woman in the world. She's not exactly proud of the performance. It's like, fuck, fuck, she says. "Every time that movie is playing on a plane, I pull my hat down like blinders." It's been over a year since Transformers director Michael Bay had her bend her denim-skirted body over the hood of a 76 Camaro, a moment that's since been blown up on the web and made Fox into a Farrah Fawcett for the internet video age. But lately, Fox has begun to see all the attention coming her way as a problem. "I don't want to be famous right now," she says. "I've done one movie. And it's not a movie I want to stand on as far as acting ability goes. I mean, I'm not going to win an Oscar anytime soon. I'm not Meryl Streep."
It's so interesting because when I first read this, I was like, oh, so self-deprecating. But then I was like, no, she's 22. This is actually an incredibly mature take of like, I've done one film. It was a year ago. And
it came out a year ago.
It was an action film. So, no.
A franchise film about alien cars that turn into robots.
Yeah.
And she was not even the top billed actor on the call sheet. She was like a sub character.
No, and she wasn't given so much to do. It was mostly just like, what is the most exciting male fantasy? Let's have her do that.
Yeah, exactly right. I also find it interesting that you jump right to her take and where she's at in this intro, because all I can see is Marky Mark. Mm-hmm. Like, Marky Mark is all through this, from the denim skirted body to the heaving, like the heavy exertion, her running her hands through her hair to her face, to her neck, to her chest. It's the most like male gazy writing. And there's something he's capturing here, right? Like, he is trying to, it's almost voyeuristic. He wants the audience to believe that they are in the room with Megan Fox and they're having the same experience he's having. He's like, what would be your dream interaction with this woman? She's doing it. See all the points.
Yeah.
Like, bada bing, bada boom. She's panting and it's hot as fuck. But I just like, I just find it funny the way that we both look at the same paragraph, and I couldn't have stopped it any sooner. It is all so beautifully articulate of a specific time. You talk about time capsule, like, this is one for 2008.
Yes. It so is.
But she's in San Diego for Comic-Con. an annual convention that draws at this moment in time about 130,000 admirers of all things superhero, sci-fi, and fantasy. And she's there because her fiance, Brian Austin Green of 90210 fame, they met on Hope and Grace, by the way. Is it Hope and Grace? Hope and Faith.
Hope and Faith.
Yeah. She was 18 and he was 30. Oh, love it.
What?
Yeah. 32, I think. Yeah. And he's participating on a panel for his latest TV show. And she's kind of along for the ride because she loves comic books. She's just a nerd like that.
Of course. Of course.
I know. She hits all the points. She's like, don't believe it. I was never the cool girl. But she's experiencing a lot of anxiety in this moment because she's very, very famous. So whenever she has to go out on the public stage, now she's taking a Xanax. She is experiencing like endless gossipy attention. The other day, Yahoo wrote that she eats a lot of cake and it became the top story on the site. And then there's just been a ton of comparisons to older actresses whose biographies don't even remotely resemble hers. Specifically Angelina Jolie. She's getting Angelina Jolie a lot. And she responds to this by saying, I don't even consider her human. She's like a superhuman goddess. And more than anything else, she's worried that all the hype might mean everything is going to fizzle out with her actual career before she's been given the chance to actually act. She goes, I want people to know me through the movies I do. And I want to be judged on that. If you start becoming famous for your personal life, that's when your career goes away.
Which is true.
And it's kind of wild because it's almost what we've seen happen to her.
And I think there's a greater awareness now. I think the reception of Jennifer's Body when it came out at the time.
Yeah. So misunderstood.
So misunderstood. And what she did in that movie, so misunderstood. She clearly had truly so much potential to be an incredible actress. And she is such an intelligent woman.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just could not see it, could not let that happen.
Yeah,
it's just like, this is a hot girl and she's gonna play hot girls.
Yeah. And I think the concept of a woman being, I mean, obviously that beautiful and intelligent and funny, I mean, those things do not mesh. They're mutually exclusive in the minds of men, and honestly women too. I think that's so patriarchal, but we really to believe that God doesn't give with both hands.
Yeah.
So it's like hard to accept that she would be this bright, someone who didn't finish high school, and also like brilliantly hilarious and so gorgeous. It's too much.
Yeah.
Specifically, I mean, she was typecast as the hot girl right out the gate. She starred, her first movie was Holiday in the Sun.
Amazing. Brianna.
Do, 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 hip, 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 hip. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is. It's amazing.
And she was only 14. And then by the time she was 16, she had gotten Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen opposite Lindsay Lohan.
An incredible film.
You talk about canon.
Yeah.
I mean, a perfect film.
I know. I tried to pitch the anniversary piece and no one was ready for it. No one's ready to talk about how good it is.
Oh, you're always ahead of your time.
I know. I wanted the bottle necklace so bad.
The Coke bottle necklace. Oh, that was genius. I'd never seen anything as
better
than that. No. I mean, you can get it next time. You can get it the 50-year anniversary.
I know. I'll hit him back with it.
You'll be what? 77?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Writing away. Pitching Pop Sugar. So that's the only one that'll be left standing.
Oh, yeah. Pop Sugar's going to outlast the rest for sure.
Yeah, it'll outlive us. That's for sure.
Yeah, moving on. But I pulled this is not in the article, but I had to pull like a little bit of research about what media outlets, be you Pop Sugar, were saying about her at the time. And this is not Pop Sugar. These are prestige outlets with very famed cultural critics at the helm making these claims. So the LA Times called her a sex symbol of the highest order, the first bona fide sex symbol of the 21st century. MTV said that Transformers broke Fox into the mainstream, immediately turning her into a household name and an international sex symbol. She has been listed as the hottest and most beautiful woman and sexiest woman in the world by Maxim, by FHM. People has named her at multiple points the most beautiful at every age. Even scholars said that because her turn in Transformers was so highly sexualized and erotically idealized, draped over a car or a motorcycle, it invariably evokes the heterosexual male onlooker. And her leaning over a Camaro while wearing a flimsy pink belly shirt and a short skirt was an unequivocal sex invite male viewers.
Oh my God.
And Men's Health also credited the Camaro scene like almost entirely for Fox's fame. So there's a lot going on there. And I think the shameless objectification of women at that time, I mean, no one thought twice.
No.
There was no critical thought going into how we were talking about truly a 20-year-old girl. It was just like, you're hot, you're for me. And that's that.
Can I get to talk about your body whenever I want?
Yeah. Yep.
Which is sort of a wild approach.
Especially from people who are like taking an intellectual view on it all. Like being like, well, I thought it was hot.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking for me. I'm pretty hot.
Yeah.
I just remember her in Transformers 2, Dark Side of the Moon, where she pulls up on a motorcycle in full leathers and then shimmies out of them to reveal a white sundress.
It's burned into my, it's such a powerful visual because it's both. She gives them both. Badass, sweet angel baby. It's both at the same time. Somehow.
Madonna and whore.
Yeah.
She's bridging the fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like you want the sexy slut on the motorbike and you want the sundressed angel to take home to mom.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Her versatility. She's a chameleon.
I know. She can do anything. She really can.
Thank you, Michael Bay.
I know.
Hats off. But basically she has kind of fed into this too because she's very open about her sex life and her sexuality, which was also radical at this time. I mean, women were being very prim and proper, and that was how to be a quote unquote serious actress, by like keeping it all under the belt. But she was 19 and when she posed half naked for a magazine shoot, and she basically boasted that she possesses the libido of a 15-year-old boy, and she had tattooed her boyfriend's name next to my pie.
I like, that's fun.
I know, but I love pie.
Pie.
It's my favorite dessert. It's a little bit too close to home.
No.
Wait, I've got the cutest anecdote. A very beautiful uggo reached out to me when I said I no longer wanted to like cook my own pie. This is so New Zealand coded in every way. She reached out with me with a recipe for a meat pie. And she was like, it's so easy. I know you can do it. And I was like, oh, babe, no, I meant a fruit pie.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. But in New Zealand, all we know is a
meat pie.
Is a steak and cheese pie.
Oh my God. That sounds amazing. Oh. I love a chicken pot pie.
Oh yeah. No. This is on another level.
The steak and cheese pie.
I think if Chris could have just pies 3 times a day, he would.
Whoa.
Obsessed. That's like a flaky pastry with meat and cheese.
Oh yeah. My God. That sounds amazing.
It's good stuff. But I am always referring to a fruit pie of some sort as my favorite things. And sometimes I go to buy it. I'm just not going to toil away.
No, also the crust, it's so hard. You have pie weights in the home? I don't.
I don't have pie weights in the home.
I don't have pie weights in the home.
I had a friend come in, bring me a passion fruit tart to work the other day. And she said, I'm so sorry. I didn't have any pie weights. The crust is a little bit thicker than you might expect. And I looked at her and I pulled out my finger guns and I said, who are you? And how are you in 2024?
Yeah.
Like, put the apron on and get back in to 1952, baby.
I know.
Because you are the dream woman.
I mean, the trad wife is in.
The trad wife is so in. Are you seeing how much money they're making?
I know.
They're bringing in millions.
I know. It's crazy. And they're just like making cheese from scratch. Just shaking milk so long that it's cheese.
It's like my kids woke up with a craving for Cheerios.
I know.
So I spent 3 hours making little Cheerios from scratch.
It's fascinating.
With home milked milk.
I kind of can't look away.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's why, and you are funding their lifestyle.
I know.
But this is also a time when a lot of young stars were finally coming to, in the sense of like, we are women, we like to have sex and not always on the schedule of a man. And so Miley Cyrus had posed in Vanity Fair, like holding a sheet.
Yes, I remember.
And she was young. Yeah. And so that caused a lot of controversy. Obviously, there was Vanessa Hudgens. And Megan kind of addresses this head on. She's like, sex is something everyone does, so why can't I talk about it? She sees it as a total double standard. She says, with any of the Miley Cyrus shit or any of that Vanessa Hudgens shit, I would never issue an apology for my life and who I am. Both girls had to apologize. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I took a naked private picture that someone is an asshole and sold for money. I'm sorry that someone else is a dick. No, you shouldn't have to apologize. Someone betrayed Vanessa, but no one's angry at that person. She had to apologize. I hate Disney for making her do that. Fuck Disney.
Incredible.
He puts his response in the story, verbatim. Can I get that on record? I did that to someone the other day. Really? I said, do you want that on record? I felt bad. Usually I'm like, give me more. Yeah. But I was actually like, I kind of want to protect you. I'm scared. Yeah.
And they said no.
They said, don't worry, I'm not scared.
Wow.
But when it's something they feel like could get them in like legal even like physical trouble, I always say,
Yeah.
This interview pertains to you too.
Yeah.
It's for our book.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had to say, like, can I say that? Can I quote you? And he said, yes.
Whoa.
So that's a little teaser for you, I guess.
I know.
The book is coming.
Yeah. Oh my God. And that's all we'll give you.
We're
doing it live.
That's all you're getting today. But she says, yeah, fuck Disney. And he writes in print, there goes your career. She goes, yeah, that was probably a bad move since they own everything, but it's not right. They take these little girls, they put them through entertainment school and teach them to sing and dance and make them wear belly shirts, and they won't allow them to be their own people. It makes me sick.
I mean, the fact that this came out like 15 years ago and this conversation is just happening now, sort of. Miley Cyrus coming forward to talk about what her schedule was like when she was a young Disney star and how it was untenable. And people being like, oh, actually, that was pretty bad what we did to all the young Nickelodeon stars and the Disney stars.
I mean, the Nickelodeon sex expose. I know. Yeah. Wait, I don't think I heard about Miley Cyrus and her schedule. What did it look like?
Oh, my God. It was harrowing. It was like when she was probably 11 or 12 and she reads out like 5 a.m. hair and makeup, 7 a.m. Good Morning America interview, 7:30, another on-air live interview, 8. Like, shooting. Go to the, photo shoot, come back. It's like, basically, her time was accounted for from like 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. She's doing interviews the entire time, being carded, lunch interviews, phone interviews, appearances, whatever it is, and then gets on a plane that night to come and then begin shooting Hannah Montana the next morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah. You forget what it takes to be ubiquitous. I mean, like, it doesn't just happen.
No.
It's like you're putting in the work to be that visible at all times.
God, yeah.
Disney can really, like, crack the whip.
Yeah.
But she is also just experiencing like the other side of like backlash with to do with her fame, most recently because she like grabbed Brian's crotch, her boyfriend's crotch at a restaurant. And it just became this huge thing. Like she was photographed, like, I guess like grabbing his, doing anything crazy, just like playfully going for it. And she goes, I don't understand why that was so scandalous. When those photos first came out, it was like Megan Fox giving Brian a blowjob. And then she was like, I mean, a hand job in public. And she goes, okay, first, who gives hand jobs? I mean, never a true word spoken. Who gives hand jobs? Who has given a hand job since seventh grade? Not me. And who does it at a cafe in a public street? I touch him all the time. It's like, if you have a girlfriend, you grab her butt or whatever. And that's all it was. But it became a big deal. I don't know why. For me, touching Brian's dick for 2 seconds, that's not part of our sex life. That's me playing around, you know? Just cup it a little for a few seconds. The hand job thing, I don't think anyone's ever gone record and denounced a hand job with such...
Nobody's been brave enough.
...eloquence.
Yeah.
And it needed to be said.
Hear ye.
Absolutely, dude.
I know. Yeah, she's really... She's free. She's open. She is saying it how it is.
A hand job of all the jobs feels like the most futile of the jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like when you're doing a job that you know is pointless.
Sisyphus.
Yeah. Like, this is a superfluous thing that's happening here.
Yeah.
Like, you could do a better job and you know it. And I know it. And I can't get the rhythm fast enough.
No.
And it's just, I'm exhausted because I just don't have the same bicep capacity as you do. And it's just all a bit too hard, isn't it?
I know.
And she sees it firsthand.
Speaking out.
She's speaking. And, but like, this is all to say, this is crazy the way she's talking. Like, talk about radical. She is truly giving this interviewer something that he doesn't get, especially from female celebrities. So he writes, even with her minimal exposure to Hollywood decorum, she recognizes that quote unquote serious actors have become serious because they don't say this sort of stuff. She seems, however, constitutionally unable to hold herself back. Ever since she was a little girl growing up first in Tennessee and then Florida, the best way to get Megan Fox to do something was to tell her not to. She was the rebellious one, the bad girl who'd sneak out of her mother's car to visit her boyfriend, who'd wear black bras that showed through her strict Christian school's compulsory white shirts. I was on lockdown constantly, she says. And I mean, this is kind of the most we get about her childhood on a way that feels like psychological, that kind of breaks down who she is. Mm-hmm. And this feels like an oversight for me from this profile because she's so interesting. And obviously she's not taken as being interesting. She's not being seen beyond the real like sexual object in this, but it's such a shame because the three sisters component,
I know,
would be sick to hear more about.
I would die to know more about that. I understand why, because this is maybe what a GQ reader is looking for, of like, what color bra does she wear? But it feels like where the real intrigue is here. And I think where public perception has changed with her is recognizing the artist that she is and her interior world. But even so, I feel like now with her relationship with MGK, we're sort of back to this, where it's like, they're kissing in public.
That's exactly what she said. And I mean, the big reason we chose to do this was because of her new book, but also the fact that she went on Call Her Daddy, called off her engagement to MGK, very much is in the zeitgeist. And she said that on the episode. She said, I like the 2009 headlines and today's headlines about me are totally interchangeable. And they prompted her to practically go into hiding. She almost left the industry. So it's, yeah, I mean, we're right back there. We're right back here in 2008. And I mean, you got to hand it to old Mark here. I mean, he knows that he's not going to get GQ, predominantly male readers, past the first paragraph. If he's like, and tell me about like that sisterly dynamic. Did you feel like you have to raise these girls or how, what? No, you're going to get them by being like, she's rubbing herself and breathing heavily
and saying the word daddy loud. yeah
exactly right.
I know.
And he does get a little bit into her adolescence in the sense of kind of who she was, but it all plays into the same narrative of making her like the sexiest sex pot on the planet. So he talks about the fact that she was bullied at school, she was pelted with mustard and ketchup packets, and was mocked mercilessly by women because ultimately she got on better with boys. Mm. She was brash, showy, flirtatious, the kind of girl that, you know, teenage boys love to pal around with and the girls hate. She remembers that one year the preacher's daughter of her school came to Halloween dressed in a black cat suit and everyone was like, who are you? And she said, I'm Megan Fox.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, Catholic school was different.
A
different time.
Truly different time. I wonder what it's like now with Gen A.
I wonder that too. Probably a lot more get ready with me's happening.
And you know what? I don't know if I need to get ready with anyone else anymore. I think I'm done getting ready.
Yeah.
I will get ready alone.
Yeah. I hear ya. I hear ya.
You know?
Yeah. I know. Because at the beginning, they started influencing me where mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I should get the thing that they have, or I should. And now I'm just, no.
Can I just get ready solo? Is that too much to ask?
Yeah.
You know,
I have enough.
I have friends I can call if I want to get ready with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I think where I'm at. I think I'm on the other side. I'm over the hill. Mm-hmm. It's like where we went with dancers, TikTok dancers.
I know.
I mean, that's how this whole thing started. And now here we are, just watching girls fucking pat powder into their face.
Yeah. For hours.
For hours. And that's the look. Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.
Yeah.
Poopy's looking absolutely fire tonight. I know.
They shock me.
They have me. They have me. I won't lie.
He is from, well, they're both from a different planet, it feels like.
Yeah.
In the most fascinating way.
Do you want to know something fun? Should I admit?
Yes.
So I was pitched them and I thought that they should get like a big profile. Like, yeah. I wanted to take them to the Times. And I said this to the publicist and they said they won't actually do anything with the Times. And I said, oh my goodness, why is that? And apparently, and I hadn't seen this, like I fully missed this, last month, the Times dragged up old, or I guess fans of them did, but old photos of her in antebellum type.
Oh yeah, outfits. I saw those.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, right.
And the Times was like the first on it, I think, and did a full op-ed about it. And I thought it was kind of unfair because a lot of people have done a lot worse for one. Not that we're, you know, down comparing with crimes, but it was the way that they approached it in the sense of like, everyone, like, what is everyone doing? Like, take a good hard look at your digital footprint and like scrub anything that's not, you know, crystal clean. Like, it just was really unfair, I think, and also just weird to be like, hide all your sins.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, yeah, everyone does this and moves on. I guess she didn't even, you know, she didn't go back. And you know, it just, there was no grace. And I feel like in 2024, we've moved on past the just the shameless, like, you are a terrible person for this one thing you did 15 years ago.
Well, it's also sort of silly because we just don't apply that same thing. It's like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds got married at a plantation.
Yeah.
And they were adults when they got married.
Yeah.
So it's just,
that was like last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's silly to me sometimes that for certain people,
I think they donated a lot of money
as a sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Honestly, a lot of people, a lot of rich people should throw money when they feel bad about things.
Do they not know? Like, obviously they know it's a plantation. It must be right there on the website.
Oh yeah, of course. But I think that it was much more common because they can be beautiful.
Yeah.
The grounds are gorgeous.
Mm.
But unfortunately they are seeped with the blood of many people who were forced to work them against their will. So it's not ideal. So you sort of have to look past all that to be like, but the building,
yeah,
look at the architecture.
Look at the white wraparound veranda.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing more sweet.
Yeah. I just think that also there is like a greater, you know, it's like the same way that so many statues existed around America that were like, here's this amazing soldier.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be here.
I read something about him.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like the best guy.
No.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, look, like, I don't know. I think I even have a transition for that to
Megan
Fox, because we're going straight into a Roland Holiday in the Sun.
Yeah, no, that's far.
That's far. It's a, yeah. I mean, we're holidaying, we're weddinging,
yeah,
we're finding the sun somehow.
Yeah.
But she basically, off the back of Holiday in the Sun with the Olsen twins, used that as a springboard to move to Hollywood. Her mom relocated with her and they lived together for a year. And that's how she got Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. And then she turned 18 and her mom was like, okay, see ya. Like, you're on your own in Los Angeles. And she went a little bit crazy. She was free for the first time without the confines of, you know, heavy Christianity. And her boyfriend broke up with her and she was like, okay, let's ride. She went to a strip club, fell in love with Russian stripper named Nikita, and would basically go there all the time and would bring her like gifts, perfume, body spray, show up with gifts as if she was like a middle-aged married man who just like developed some sort of infatuation.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought you something, Nikita.
Yeah.
Nikita, yeah. This one's for you. She would pay to get lap dances and she just was basically like, give her what she thought was great little sound bites of inspiration. Like, you can get out of this life. Like, you're better than this. So truly, I mean, living the middle-aged crisis at 18.
You're so smart.
Yeah.
What's your real name?
Oh my God.
Just tell me your real name.
It's crazy.
Are you paying for school?
Yeah. I love that she's just like, she smelled so good and she had really long, beautiful hair.
Yeah.
And I loved her.
That's kind of enough.
Yeah.
That's honestly enough.
It can be enough sometimes.
We've gone for less, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she smelled like vanilla. She was a tough badass. She said she would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads, which is extremely specific.
That's so cool.
I couldn't name for you an Aerosmith ballad. Can you? Do you have one off the top of your head?
No, I don't have one off the top.
No. And yeah, had really long stick straight hair and was Russian. She was just sadistic and sarcastic and funny. And Mark is very quickly obsessed by this. You talk about I kissed a girl culture. We're right in there. Mm-hmm. And Mark is eating this up. So he writes, how long did it go on? And she goes, not very long. You know, when you're just pushing something too fast and it escalates too rapidly and it just explodes after 2 weeks. I mean, famously every lesbian relationship. Stop. No.
Stop. No.
I can't. Cancel me.
No. Gone. No. And then sometimes they're beautiful and they last forever.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone has just a chill, slow ride. I guess no.
Yeah.
Because there's no man like pumping the brakes.
Just like, whoa, like being like, whoa.
slow down there, Philly.
I know. No, the intimacy that women experience is gorgeous and intense.
Oh, you have a best friend, you add a romantic component, you're fucked.
I know. I hate it. It's so powerful. It could light a city.
Yeah.
It could light 5 cities.
Absolutely. It could big overhaul ones. Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
So she is, I mean, self-conscious here for the first time discussing her personal life. She starts talking about Nikita and how people are going to judge her, that she had this relationship with a Russian stripper. And she specifically doesn't want to come off as like Lindsay Lohan, who was already, I mean, been in and out of rehab, arrested multiple times. And so she was like, are you going to push this she's a lesbian angle? Oh my God, you are going to do that to me. I'm not a lesbian. I just think all humans are born with the ability to be attracted to both sexes. I mean, I could see myself in a relationship with a girl. Olivia Wilde is so sexy. She makes me want to strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands. She's mesmerizing. And lately I've been obsessed with Jenna Jameson.
Strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands.
Strangle a mountain ox with my bare hands. Just out of hotness alone. If Harry Styles could read this now. Yeah.
She's ahead of her time. This is how people talk now.
I know.
And she was doing it too early. And the fact, bisexuality, but no worries about labeling it. She's just like, yeah, of course everyone's on the spectrum.
I know. She's a poet. She's a scholar. She's a forward thinker. She's a philosopher.
I know.
Socrates of our generation.
We just weren't ready.
No, we weren't. We honestly weren't. And it goes on. If he could not make her, you know, more of a sex object or more of like a hot girl, like he will find any way. He's doubling down in this moment. So he sees her in her element at Comic-Con and he kind of like makes this offhand comment that like, oh my God, the nerds are out in full force here. And she goes, they're not nerds. They're just passionate. And she's like, if I get stuck doing comic book films the rest of my life, I'll be really happy. I love those types of movies. I don't mind being sexy if it's a character with a backstory and an arc and something progresses. Of course, comic movies aren't known for their complex character development, Mark writes. And when he asks Fox if she has more of a character in Transformers 2, now filming in LA, she answers by stating, Transformers 2 is directed by Michael Bay.
This is so crazy because there is sort of an unwritten rule. You do not do this. You cannot, while you're in the middle of a promotional moment, sort of pan the director, the big name director.
Yeah.
And she is fearless, especially when it comes to Michael Bay. I remember when...
Oh, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll get there. But and just such a beautifully succinct answer to that question.
Yeah.
Transformers 2 is directed by Michael Bay. As if to say, obviously the implication lies that he really doesn't give a fuck about women being complex, multidimensional, real life 3D characters. It's all about them being hot and revolving around the needs of the man in the movie. And that is very much clear in the leathers to sundress pipeline that we see.
I know.
So hot that I could rewatch it over and over. Oh, wait. Was this in this profile? I remember...
No. I'm just remembering seeing that scene and the YouTube comments being like, I saw this in the movie theater and someone yelled, hey, oh, take it off.
Yeah. Oh, baby, take it off.
Yeah.
And we all laughed and it was great.
Yeah.
It's like the first comment.
Yeah. Evander and I rewatched the scene for reference and the comments were just like, if you could take me back to seeing this for the first time. It's
a different era over there.
I am the best moment of my life and I have two children. Like, yeah. But she really enjoys mocking it. And this is when Mark weaves in some quotes from men, which I find to be particularly dark, if I'm to be honest with you. So Transformers made a shitload of money, $700 million worldwide, which made her highly marketable and then made her typecast as like the hot girl who can sell a movie. So she's about to release How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, which is a comedy next to Simon Pegg. And Simon Pegg says here, I think it'll be good for her to play against type as much as she can. And in the movie, she plays a brainless young starlet who's about to make it big for the first time and is really not doing anything other than acting like a ditz. So I'm not quite sure what he's referring to here, but I actually do like that Mark set that up and spiked it all in once with that quote. And then Simon Pegg carries on saying slobbering all over her was really quite fun. And then he adds, but I hope people don't get sucked in by just wanting to see her in a bra. And then the Juno director, who is also the producer of Jennifer's Body coming out the following year, says the greatest revelation for me on Megan Fox was how funny she was.
I could talk for 2.5 hours about the amount of times that I hear this and men think it's a compliment of like, you're actually funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're actually pretty funny.
It stays in my mind what you talk about with guys repeating your jokes and then everyone laughing.
Yeah.
Like you're.
I could slam them against a wall and not in a good way.
I mean, that's when the karate skills come out, am I right? Yeah. Like that's a little choppity chop.
A breaking of the kneecap.
Oh, did I hurt you?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Funny girl over that here.
That was a joke.
I was being funny.
Get up, it's a joke.
Get up, it's a joke. Both kneecaps broken.
You can't take a joke.
Sad.
No, I think if he'd been like, she's hilarious, I wish more people knew.
Yes.
He says the greatest revelation about her is that she could possibly be funny. And that really annoys me.
You fool.
And then Mark goes on to say that he sees what this guy means. She's naturally funny in a lewd way that you can kind of imagine her hanging out with like Seth Rogen. That's like Seth Rogen's brand of comedy. And while the comedy world continues to be a boys' club, for sure, Megan Fox hates the fact that her frank talk is supposed to be career damaging, while foul-mouthed male actors are considered funny. She's like, I should be able to talk about sex the same way any man can. Women are supposed to be beautiful. We're supposed to be sexy. But we're not supposed to talk sexy or talk about sex because that's gross. And I don't want to play into that. Okay, the one thing I will say, which is really interesting about her, is that she is totally hilarious. She is so quick and she's so dry. But you know, in the way that many dry people will never laugh or crack a smile.
Yeah.
That's what it's like to watch her in an interview. Like she says something perfectly timed. Like her comedic timing is off the charts and she just kills it. And then she's just totally blank, like really straight face. And I don't know what that is. It's almost as if she's judging you for laughing at her joke, even though she knows it's funny.
It's like an extension of the bit. It's like the character never breaks. There's never that moment where the tension gets cut.
No.
Where it's like, and here we are. We're friends giggling.
Yeah. And you see in that interview with Alex Cooper that she is like,
yeah,
like kind of gasping for air in the sense of like, what is this woman going to see next? I mean, Megan is entirely leading the interview. And I think like Alex Cooper is a genius, very, very smart and an incredible interviewer. But something that she does that I don't love as much as like a Dax Shepard is that she will be like the questions are very broad and overarching. It's very like, tell me about your childhood rather than honing in on a specific thing, like off the back of the research. She'll be like, instead of like in the way a Dax Shepard might be like, you grew up in this scenario and that must have been a difficult dynamic to navigate. Alex Cooper would be like, so tell me what middle school was like.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tough for me because I'm just like, I don't need the platitudes of like, middle school was okay. You know, I like want to get to the heart of it quicker. Mm-hmm. And I think what was so interesting about that conversation with Megan Fox was that she almost like saw through every question and didn't even start light. She like went into it with every breath. Whereas I think for me to be interviewed like that, I would have to take a beat and be like, okay, middle school. Okay.
Yeah.
How was it? All right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're so going broad. Way broad to yeah. narrow at the very end, maybe.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's just like fascinating to see how she works. And she's very aware of what she's saying. She is like, my publicist is going to hang herself for knowing what I've told you. She's going to quit the business and open a taco stand.
Oh my God.
And like, I mean, funnily enough, truly to what we're saying, Diablo Cody, who is the Oscar winning screenwriter of Juno and wrote Jennifer's Body, says that like most actresses she meets are like very wispy, very eager to please, but Megan is in charge the entire time. Mm-hmm. And that's her major point of difference. But of course, Mark doesn't expound beyond that. He goes straight back to the Russian stripper, Nikita, and is like, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Pretty interested in that. And I think the readers of GQ would be very interested to hear about Megan Fox's fling with a Russian stripper. And he says, Mark puts his own quote in here and says, you do realize that you've given me just enough for people to suspect the worst.
Okay, a threat.
A threat, for one. A bribe.
Yeah, for two.
Yeah.
A threat and then a bribe.
And also, I don't know what the worst is here, that she's gay. Is that the worst?
Yeah, I guess.
That is, right?
God, 2008.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Before the lighthouse lit up in rainbow and everything was solved.
So happy.
I know.
No, and she says, look, I promise you that what comes after it is going to, or after my revelation of getting deeper into this relationship, is not going to make my situation any better. The problem was that trying to move the friendship outside of that location became uncomfortable and weird. It was like trying to marry a porn star, but I get it. This is colorful and you want something to write that people will want to read. I get bored reading typical celebrity shit also. Yeah. So she's dancing.
Yeah.
And she's aware that she's dancing.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, audiences are going to have to decide, Mark writes, if Megan Fox can, in fact, act. And assuming she can, will an agent or a producer or manager or someone tell her to tone things down? Will she have to conform to the system as it stands? You know, like, does she have to quit it with, like, the fuck Disney and the ball cupping stuff? And then after that, will she stop speaking freely, stop getting tattoos? At this point, she has 7. And like host a round table or adopt orphans. Very much, yeah, he's referring to the Angelina Jolie mm-hmm. track of like bad girl turned white savior.
Yeah, like humanitarian yeah. angel.
Exactly. That he says, but for now, it's hard not to wish for a world where everyone in Hollywood talks like this. No bullshit, Megan Fox. That I can absolutely relate to. Mm-hmm. This one who is convinced that she's secretly a man. She says, if my mom were to tell me that I was born with male and female genitalia and she had to choose, I would believe her. This one who's not afraid to talk about her life at home, where she and Brian spend most of their time watching movies and playing, what, Ox together? Is that Xbox?
I don't know.
It's like slang. Ox. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And she's even up for just sitting there and watching him play Gears of War, which I thought, okay, hey, Lana.
Yeah.
Okay, video games.
Yeah.
Like, let me just watch you play your little video games.
I know. It's mesmerizing, I'll tell you.
She says, that's the upside of dating a woman who's almost a man. If pick me was in the vocabulary back then, I mean, it would just be lighting up like, danger.
Yeah, I know.
She likes the same things that you like, but she also has a vagina. And then she follows up with, don't print that I said. Vagina.
And that's how the profile closes.
Yep.
Which feels like a real little, you know, dagger to the side.
Yes.
It's like explicitly going against her wishes.
Yeah.
In I don't know, kind of an ominous way. I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable.
The ending or the whole
ending.
Profile?
The ending. No, the profile had a lot of funny, fun moments.
I really enjoyed the profile.
Yeah. Oh, great profile. And I agree. And Megan knows, like, I don't want to read boring shit. This is the boring is the last word that you'd use to describe this. But the ending felt like it ended on a weird note for me.
No, exactly. It's a choice to put in something that someone specifically says, even if they're on record, specifically says, please don't put that in. Like, don't put that in, that I say vagina. And I don't know if it says anything more about her, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not giving us anything about her personality or character that she was like, don't print that. I mean, I guess it plays into his theory that she's going to have to, you know, curb her enthusiasm for being so vulgar and brash and outright and forthcoming. But
it just feels also that I think that, I mean, and in so many of the profiles that we've read, the conclusion is often the point where someone draws their conclusion on the star or gives us something to chew on or gives us a new idea where it's sort of like, you've read all of this and now this is what I want to leave you with. And it's just strange in that way to leave us with this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a boy with a, you know, it's cool because I'm cool, but I have a vagina. Don't write that.
Yeah. Finn. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like shock value.
Yeah.
Like, how many kind of like references to genitalia, how many swear words can we get in here? That's really what it feels like.
Yeah.
And also maybe he's just, again, trying to make her seem as hot as she seems.
Yeah.
Like the fact that she is comfortable joking about penises and vaginas. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in the aftermath of this, things took a downward turn. She came under scrutiny when three crew members on Transformer defended Michael Bay against accusations she had made about his on-set behavior. So she compared him to Hitler. And then the crew rallied around Michael. And then in the kind of Katherine Heigl sense of it all, she was taken down a peg pretty quickly. Michael Bay says that he does not condone her outlandish quotes, but her quips are part of her charm. And yeah, I mean, she got married to Brian Austin Green. They divorced in 2020, but they share three sons. And that feels really like poetic, the fact that she's raising boys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find that it's always like the hottest women that have boys?
Yeah, it has to be. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it so is.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. But she has now just only recently released her first book, Pretty Boys Are Poisonous. And she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, where she revealed she has pretty serious body dysmorphia and has suffered from that her whole life. Obviously, she came out and said she's had three breast augmentations, going bigger each time. And she also got engaged to MGK over the last year, 2 years, and they called it off very recently and announced that last week. So that's kind of where she's at. I did make a couple notes about her tattoos, which I found interesting.
Mm.
She has many different tattoos. The one on her back, which is particularly famous, is "We will all laugh at gilded butterflies," which is a quote from King Lear and basically refers to the fact that obviously we love to tear down the beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a tattoo somewhere on her body, near her breast, I think, that reads, "There once was a little girl who never knew love until a boy broke her." It's giving Tumblr. And a Nietzsche quote that says, "And those who were seen dancing were thought to be insane by those who could not hear the music."
Mm-hmm.
You've that's a bit of you.
That's a bit of me. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Live by it.
Yeah. I reveal mine.
Yeah. You're like, stop.
Yeah, I have that. Down my back.
Her most famous one, I think, is the one of Marilyn Monroe that she actually got removed. The one on her right forearm.
Yeah.
She says it has a negative kind of connotation because Marilyn suffered so much from personality disorders and was bipolar, and I don't want to attract this kind of negative energy into my life. And she did bring up Marilyn in her Call Her Daddy interview and kind of compared herself to her and said, "You're doing the same thing to me, or you have done the same thing to me that Marilyn got. And we haven't grown." So, yeah. I am curious, though, about the tattoo removal of it all. Do you have a tattoo you regret? You've got a few.
Yeah, well, my first tattoo is just not, wasn't that well done.
Yeah.
It kind of is like chipping in a strange way mm-hmm. and smeared, but I don't have anything that I, you know, I wish that one on my arm was a little smaller. I went in for a 3-inch one and I came out with a 9-inch tattoo. So that was youth.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, but I really live with it. I think that they're meant to live in the era that you got them. It's sort of like totally. Little artifacts that you gather as you go on in life.
Yeah. I have so many that I'm kind of like, that's a choice.
Yeah.
That is a choice.
Yeah.
Including a very blown out rose, to use Megan's words, near my pie. that I bartered down to $40 and Amazing. Got drunk. And basically, it's not like it's really not the Mona Lisa of tattoos, that's for sure. The technique is not sharp, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just found this interesting because hers are so meaningful. Like mine are very much to symbolize a certain point in my life. And hers are like, it's like bearing her soul on her body.
Yeah.
It's like, she seems like she really is begging to be understood and properly seen. And that comes across in this profile. It comes across in all her interviews. She's just been like horribly misunderstood. She's such a smart woman who's never been given the platform or the leverage to use her, you know, her talent, her wit, her intellectualism to her advantage.
I know. And I feel like the MGK thing put her back in the zeitgeist for the wrong reasons again, where it's like she's attached to this man and they seem to have a really intense thing happening.
Yeah.
But it's just like there is still more there. I wonder if she'll have a comeback, a renaissance, if she'll get cast in something and something will happen.
Yeah. I was also frustrated that she was brought back to the public conscience through a man. Yes. Like that was really, it was like the two of them together, like lifted each other up in terms of star power. And yeah, I mean, look, I don't even have to ask you this question, how much you'd want to interview her.
Very much.
Oh man.
Very much.
Desperate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Oh, she's someone I actually would really love to befriend.
Yeah.
But I've thought deeply about this, and the fact that she like kind of doesn't crack a smile, it would be kind of tough.
I would love her as a mentor. Formal request.
Same.
Help.
But her quotes in that interview about refusing to subscribe to a stable relationship because that's not her definition of love. Her definition of love is passion, which begets suffering, essentially, is I found that like really tragic. Like I came away feeling very sad. A friend described it to me as incredibly affecting, and I felt that deeply. It was a portrait of someone who has never been seen for who she is and her full potential, and keeps falling back into the same patterns, I want to say. And in many ways, in like professionally, her love life. I mean, she talks about the 2009 headlines and the 2024 headlines being exactly the same.
I know. I feel like there is a piece of fame that's just a constant miscommunication.
Yeah.
It's like a game of telephone, but you have no control over where it starts. So you're just forced to sort of watch it go in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah, that has got to be so frustrating.
Yeah.
That's why certain celebrities, aka Selena Gomez, like live in the comments.
Yeah.
Because they just cannot let go of the narrative being beyond their control.
And there are just so many celebrities that the world decided to turn on for no reason. Like Keira Knightley is an example, I feel like we've talked about before, where everyone just like woke up one day and was like, we hate her. We hate her, Anne Hathaway, but now has come back into the zeitgeist and everyone loves her. But for a while people were like, she sucks.
Yeah.
I look quite pretty.
Yeah. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah.
It's like she was here with me.
Thank you. The theater kid element, people reject. The two beautiful people reject. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really hard, I think, as a female actress to get it right and come out squeaky clean and on top. And I think now we're seeing that for the first time happen to certain male celebrities. Justin Timberlake being one. Mm-hmm. Like, it's now we're like, okay, wait, let's apply the same heat that we've been giving women for decades to you. And like, let's see how you shape up in the oven.
It's not good.
Yeah. Are you going to rise?
A lot of burning.
On fire. Yeah. So, I mean,
I hate to say it because this profile is kind of everything that we have disparaged in the past, but damn enjoyable. Hey,
I know. So interesting. So ahead of its time.
Wait, why? Feels like it was in its time.
I think, well,
her quotes. Yes.
The writing, it's in that way such a juxtaposition. Her quotes, if she were to give them today, everyone would be like, yes.
Yeah.
Olivia Wilde makes you want to strangle a bear, an ox with your bare hands. Everyone would live and breathe for it.
Yeah. Everyone's rodeo cowgirl and yeah. cracking the whip.
But no, and the writing would not stand up today. The writing, everyone would. It would be.
Oh my God. I think of what people take down these days, like the sentences that people just pull out and absolutely admonish online. And it's like, if someone read this or wrote this in this environment, I mean. Oh. Old Mark would be absolutely out of a job.
Yeah.
It's just such a different landscape. It's amazing how far we've come in the space of, you know, I guess it's almost, to be fair, I guess it's almost been 20 years, which is nuts.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point we were at the height of raunch culture. We were just on the other side. I mean, the recession was hitting and I think that's when everything took a turn and we sobered up, like got serious a little bit. And yeah, I mean, she really exemplified that because she was out. Mm-hmm. By like 2011, Megan Fox was not really around in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to be on the precipice of disappearing again, which would be such.
No, I want her to stay.
I know. But.
Wow. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot from her.
Oh, for sure. She says what she thinks. She does what she says.
Yeah.
She does whatever she wants to do. And that is a woman that I would like to follow.
What is her astrological sign?
Oh, I think it's Gemini.
I think it's Gemini too. Or, yeah, I think. Here we are. Beatrice is looking it up right now.
Oh, she's a Taurus.
Oh, wow. So she's almost a Gemini. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loves beautiful things.
Yeah, loves.
Loves the comforts of home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Loves money.
Yeah.
I love Tauruses.
Me too.
Not my sister sign. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
It is. I trust them with my life.
Chris and I's best friends are both born the same day, Tauruses, and we're both Scorpios.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Twin flames.
Twin flames. We literally found our counterpart.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So it just goes to show it's powerful stuff.
Yeah,
it is. That astrology.
It's real. Let's be honest. It's real.
For the straight men out there.
I know.
No, this was good. I absolutely loved it. And I will be set for the next months to see what happens to Megan. I just hope that she kind of realizes that toxic relationships aren't everything. You're just permanently in a state of raise cortisol, which is pumping adrenaline and making you feel like you're having more fun than you are.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wish her nothing but the best.
Same here. Absolutely.
Just abundance.
And joy. Nothing but the best for you this week, Ago, as you go in and tackle it with all the autonomy of a woman who needs to be seen, heard, and understood. I've literally just ruled out an entire gender.
No.
We're getting worse.
No, it's for them.
We're getting worse.
It's for them too. No.
No, for men and women. Women and men. Tackle it with the same vigor of a woman who has been misunderstood.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come for the patriarchy. Dismantle it in any way you can, even if you benefit from it. Take one for the team.
Yeah, you gotta.
We love you.
We love you and we appreciate you so much. Thanks for being here.
Leave us a little review, maybe.
Oh, a like?
A like. Oh, no. Could we
1 second of your time?
Just a crumb of a 5-star? Would you do it? Just a follow?
Please. We are two little matched girls on the streets of Moscow.
Looking through the window.
Begging.
It all comes back to the homeland.
So I know.
Oh, back to Russia. And goodbye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode. Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.